Naturally occurring black pigments in vegetables, spices, and seeds have been found to have powerful anti-inflammatory effects. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I'm excited about what I think may be the next big thing in anti-inflammatory supplements, a brand new, all-natural daily preventative against a host of possible inflammatory issues. Black for Health liquid extract from Future Farm Botanicals. Black for Health combines four plant-based foods, black garlic, black radish root, black cumin seed, and black peppercorn, containing high levels of body-ready healing botanicals. Black for Health supports your liver, skin, cholesterol, blood pressure, and weight management, circulation, and immunity. It's a tasty supplement with liposome complex for optimal absorption. For more information, order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's MyFutureFarm, PHARM, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. It's our weekly attempt to answer your questions. Questions come to radioprogram@AOL.com. And let's make sure we have a full mailbox next week. We managed to sustain ourselves through the holiday lull. But now it's back to business. The run-up to Christmas 2020 and a new year.
Yeah.
Hopefully a better year. Can't get any worse.
Amen. We have an email from Michael. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. The results from a SIBO breath test indicated very low levels of hydrogen.
Hang tight. Let's talk about this. What is a SIBO breath test? So a SIBO breath test is a test that we do for small intestine bacterial overgrowth.
Yes.
Why do we do that test? Well, people come in with gastrointestinal symptoms.
Yeah.
And especially in diarrhea-predominant IBS, you know, with urgency and, you know, can't leave the house until you sat on the toilet, you know, a couple of times.
Right. Make sure it's done.
Yeah. That,
you
know.
And then you can go, but maybe.
Cramps and, you know, unexpected.
Right.
You know,
bloaty
searches
stuff.
For the bathroom and, you know, that kind of thing. That's a form of IBS that is very amenable to treatment for SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth. The breath test usually measures two things. Some future breath tests may measure additional things.
But
usually it measures hydrogen and it measures methane. So when you produce a lot of hydrogen, it's often the result of fermentation by bacteria that are hydrogen producing. They can be targeted with diet modification or certain botanicals or in some cases medication. Xifaxan is a pretty popular medication. For the hydrogen predominant. The less common kind and the more difficult to treat kind is methane predominant. And if you recall, methane is swamp gas. So methane is sometimes somewhat malodorous. But methane predominant SIBO is often associated with the other type of IBS, which is IBS-C, constipation. So the medical way to treat methane predominant SIBO is with two drugs, neomycin and Xifaxan together.
And
it's fairly effective, but not always effective. Other things that are helpful, there is atrantol.
Atrantol, yes.
And atrantol is a combination of different herbs, but horse chestnut. And but also something called quebracho, with also some peppermint. Peppermint is also a good general IBS herb.
Good.
It
good
reduces
for bloating,
spasm.
It's antimicrobial.
It is antimicrobial, but it also reduces the spasm. But quebracho is a unique ingredient in atrantol, which is helpful sometimes for methane predominant SIBO.
Oh, there you go.
And it was discovered because livestock who grazed on quebracho had less flatulence.
Oh, well, maybe that's the answer.
Yeah.
To, you know, the factory farming and
it just give
and all the methane.
Atrantol. So anyway, so we've interviewed the doctor who developed atrantol on one of our podcasts. You can look it up. Maybe I'll re-invite him in 2021. But it's available, A-T-R-A-N-T-I-L. It's available over the counter or online, and you could try it. But the other thing that's helpful, and you pointed that out the other day when we were talking about this, is the
Alamex. Initially, Michael had good results with Candibactin AR, BR, but no more.
So AR is with oregano, and it's aromatic herbs.
And the BR is with berberine.
But those are more suitable for the hydrogen predominant.
The hydrogen. But now this is a methane predominant, and Alamex may do it. Alamex may do it. So it's worth a try. What do you say to biocidin?
Biocidin is a possibility, too. It's a formula that is rich in black walnut.
Right.
And gentian violet.
Yeah.
Gentian violet is strongly antifungal and antibacterial. In fact, gentian violet used to be used for oral thrush. You used to paint the mouth of patients with oral thrush with a gentian formula, which was weird because when they, you know, would say, let's look at your mouth and see how, you know, yeast is. It's purple. It's like, oh, my goodness, did you just have a purple lollipop? And here's the even weirder part. When I first saw this, it kind of freaked me out, is a purple vagina.
Whoa!
Oh, yeah, because it used to be used, not too much anymore, but they used to, for women who developed yeast infections, they would paint the vulva with gentian violet. So it'd be, okay, let's do your pelvic exam. Oh, my goodness. That's an interesting color.
Really? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. How festive.
How festive. So Michael tried the Candibactin ARBR. I would say try the Alamex. He's concerned about the side effects of neomycin.
So neomycin has the side effect of having it's a laxative.
Yeah.
It's a laxative.
Which he doesn't need because diarrhea is his
So then, you know, it's
symptom.
Not clear that, well, it the methane predominance usually slows the GI tract.
Right.
So I don't know, you know.
So he was surprised by that finding because of his chronic diarrhea that he's more methane predominant.
This sounds like a day in the office, doesn't it?
It really does. Michael, you should come into the office to see us.
Yeah.
So
but we get these complicated cases.
Right.
I mean, easy cases, they just, you know, they listen to our podcast, they treat themselves, and they don't come in.
Yeah. Well, listen, there are a lot of different supplements, as we mentioned here, as well as drugs. Maybe Xifaxan might be the one.
Yep.
That with neomycin, as you said, together. So that could be some. Pay strict attention to your diet, too. That's often a big help.
Well, we talk about the low FODMAP diet.
Low FODMAP diet. People with super-duper intractable SIBO? Specific carbohydrate diet.
Yes.
Specific carbohydrate
Which goes
diet.
Beyond.
It goes beyond.
Beyond the low FODMAP diet.
It can be very austere for people who don't know what the specific carbohydrate diet is.
We use it for ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, but we can also use it for
bad
IBS.
Bad IBS, intractable diarrhea, it would be the specific carbohydrate diet. And the book is called Breaking the Vicious Cycle. And the official website by Elaine Gottschall, the late Elaine Gottschall, and the official website is breakingtheviciouscycle.info.
Great.
.info. Breakingtheviciouscycle.info. Michael, go and read that.
Do you realize we just cured like 100,000 people?
No,
it's amazing.
There we go. Yeah.
The power of podcasts.
Yeah, and it's free.
But you got to listen to this commercial.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this important message with you. Here goes.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Youthful Energy, providing you with a unique energy support of pure NT Factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause. Age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years. With a 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They are what make this Intelligent Medicine podcast free to you. And so that's a small price to pay. But besides, we love our sponsors. We really believe in the products
Yes,
that they
absolutely
purvey. And you cannot imagine the number of sponsors that I whiff on, that I just say, I'm sorry, that's, I can't promote this. Yeah, they got a big bag of money to give us to, you know, put their product on parade, but I can't get behind
it
that product.
It can't be about that. Exactly. No.
It's got to be about that. You know,
then where's the integrity?
It's got to be win-win. Know? It's got to be, thank you for supporting our podcast, getting the information out, and we want to share something of value to our listeners.
Right, right. Okay. We've got a question from Kathy. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. Thank you for your informative podcasts. I'm a 55-year-old female, and after a recent bone density test, I found out that I have slight osteopenia in my hip.
Slight osteopenia is like...
That's not a diagnosis.
That's like slight facial wrinkling.
Right.
Very slight.
Just slight. Slight. Slight facial wrinkling.
It's like, it is an accoutrement of aging.
Of aging,
sure. And
it's not
a disease.
Nope.
And let's not get to...
And it's not a medical diagnosis.
And it's also not an indication for powerful drugs.
Exactly. But I'm seeing more and more women come into this office having only osteopenia.
And being
and
told
being
they need to be
powerful drugs.
Powerful, expensive.
Yes.
Injectable.
Mm-hmm. So that's very concerning.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact. So Kathy says, what should I be doing to address this? And Kathy's thyroid was removed. She's taking 120 micrograms of levothyroxine.
120? It usually didn't come 120, it's 125.
Really? Yeah. Okay. But her thyroid was removed. So is that a very high dose for somebody without a thyroid or not?
How would we know? A moderately high dose, had her whole thyroid removed, so she has no thyroid production, so it's fairly reasonable. So why that is important is because over-treatment with thyroid medication can have a bone-thinning effect.
Yes.
But without further information, I can't really adjudicate that. The presumption is that the endocrinologist is being careful.
Yeah.
And she's using conventional thyroid medication, which is easier to monitor than natural thyroid medication. So it's, we have seen some people who have osteoporosis because they had overzealous holistic doctors who said, take it until you feel good. Well, it's like some people only feel good when they drink 10, 12 cups of coffee a day,
Exactly.
So it's like they needed so much stimulation to get on with their overly busy, ambitious
or the constant lives. Search for dopamine.
Yeah.
Whichever.
So they took too much and that set their heart to palpitating and it thinned their bones.
Their hearts aflutter.
Yes, it did. Yeah. That's what it does.
So
let's presume the thyroid is not a problem.
Right.
All right. So,
So for bone health, certainly we like, typically you want to have vitamin D levels up past the 40s.
Yes.
So that's the first thing. We want magnesium.
I saw something very interesting today. Hmm. I saw a patient.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a patient. It was actually the relative of one of our office staffers.
Uh-huh.
And she just said, can you take a look at my mom's test results?
I
looked at the vitamin D. It was like 17. I said, this person needs to be on vitamin D. She says, the funny thing is, I put my mom on vitamin D. She's on 1,000 international units.
Oh, yes.
And it made her vitamin D 17. So it shows you that for some people,
too low. 1,000 won't do anything for most people.
And you know what's in a Centrum? It's like 400.
IU. 400
yeah,
IU.
Yeah, 400 IU.
Right. You get that from a quart of milk. 400 IU in total.
But that's what they used to think that was adequate.
Yeah.
So.
Definitely vitamin D.
Yeah.
I think also for bone health, vitamin C is a good idea.
Okay, because it helps with hydroxyproline.
Hydroxyproline, the collagen, all of that.
Yes, good.
I read a very interesting article on Green Med Info that it might be about a little bit of scurvy.
Oh, okay.
When it comes to bone health, which I found interesting. But vitamin C is still a good thing.
Okay.
All right. You definitely want vitamin K.
MK7 version.
You want a minimum of 180 micrograms.
You know, vitamin K is a little like Chinese boxes. There's vitamin K, and then there's three subtypes.
Yes.
But the most prominent subtypes are K1 and K2. K1, fruits and vegetables,
K1
but it doesn't do much
leafies.
For bone.
No,
but
it's kind of the matrix.
It helps with immunity and it helps with blood clotting.
It does. I call that the wallpaper of the K.
Right.
And then the rest is the K2.
The K2 is present in fermented cheeses and also natto.
Natto. And meat.
And meat to some extent.
Yeah.
But that's that's what really works on the bones.
Right.
And there's a subtype of K2, which is the MK7 mm-hmm. type of K2, yeah. which seems to be most effective for cardiovascular protection and for bones.
Right.
So it's a double whammy. It keeps the calcium away from the arteries and puts it in the bones.
Exactly. We don't want to overdo calcium.
No.
We don't generally want more than maybe 500 milligrams a
supplementary
day.
Calcium.
You'll
get some in your diet. You know.
Right. We like
I had some canned tuna the other day. I made a tuna salad with celery and with onions and mayo and a little turmeric. And but I figured there's little bones in that, in the canned tuna.
Yes.
And there's a lot of calcium in if you're not
especially
having dairy.
Especially in sardines.
Sardines and and canned
salmon.
Yeah.
You really want to crush up all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's also a good idea. Magnesium is very, very important. It may be more important than calcium in bone health.
Yes, it's important.
So these are the things to take.
And then, you know, there's some special nutrients that we give to people who have... She doesn't have bad osteoporosis. I wouldn't suggest she go on strontium.
No, she has osteopenia.
Yeah,
so... She doesn't have osteoporosis.
We had a wonderful result today. We saw a guy, and we've been following him. He had a minus 4.2 in 2017.
In his spine.
His spine.
That was kind of severe.
Yeah, a 65-year-old guy. So then we put him on, you know, our program, which included strontium, because he has pretty bad osteoporosis.
Yeah.
And it got a little better. It went to 3.6 in 2018. And then we waited a couple of years, and this year it's minus 2.6. It was a 19.9% improvement in
That's
bone
wonderful.
Density.
So, That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was very happy about
that. And his hips improved a little bit, too, but his hips weren't that bad to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kathy, make sure you're strength training. Besides regular... you know, cardio, you want to strength train as well.
Kathy's how old?
She's 55.
Oh, 55.
She's 55.
Set it par for the course. It's not not a biggie.
Exactly.
Three things we got people freaked out about. Well, COVID, of course, but also cholesterol and bone density. We've really, you know, we've really sort of terrorized the populace with these concepts.
Oh, my goodness. Kathy, thank you very much for your question. Make sure that your thyroid panel, your thyroid tests are where they should be. That's also very important, that your thyroid is not... She has no thyroid, so that it's not too much levothyroxine.
Right. Right.
That may be adding to the diminishment
in bones. Just needs to be looked at.
Yeah. We've got a question from Mary. What do you think of... bacteriophages or bacteriophages. I've had IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, and now microscopic colitis. Specific carbohydrate diet usually resolves my diarrhea in 3 weeks, but this time it's been months. And only now it's gradually getting better. I would like to try some bacteriophages. She mentions a particular type called Fluorophage, which I haven't looked at, but...
It's a supplement?
I believe it's a supplement called Fluorophage.
Yeah, I think it's a little early in the research on that. I mean,
exactly.
The problem is our chemical antibiotics we're running out of antibiotics.
Right.
And what bacteriophages are, phage is the word for eat.
Eat,
in Greek, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Not Latin. I think it's Greek.
Mm-hmm.
I always get those confused, but I think it's Greek.
Yeah.
So that they're what are called phagocytes, which are white blood cells that basically, you know, are like little Pac-Man. They eat up. They chase down and eat up invaders. Bacteriophages eat bacteria, but they're viruses.
Yes.
And certain viruses do good in the body because they keep bacteria in check.
Mm-hmm.
And they... You know, so there's actually, you know, we talk about the microbiome. There's also a virome, which means the viruses that are present in our body that may be beneficial.
Right.
I think this supplement harnesses the concept of phages, but I can't imagine that it has live viruses in it.
Right.
Because viruses have the potential to mutate and transform dangerously.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I didn't look up that product, but...
Yeah,
it's a good concept, but I think it's on sort of on the cutting edge of research is that maybe in the future for say women who have recurrent urinary tract infections, they can be given phage therapy. They've tried every antibiotic under the sun, and the phage therapy or phage therapy could help to keep the bacteria in check.
So these bacteriophages have been proposed as alternatives to antibiotics and for many antibiotic-resistant bacterial
strains. An object of research.
Yeah. 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 Interestingly, phages can also be used as biocontrol agents in agriculture and petroleum industry. That's interesting.
Oh, okay, like in the fermentation vats when they're making things.
And moreover, phages are used as vehicles for vaccine, both DNA and protein, for the detection of pathogenic bacterial strain as a display system for many proteins, antibiotics. So there are lots of potential uses.
But I don't think the technology has advanced that we have.
Now, this is what I'm reading to you here is from 2012. Oh. So, and that was the thing that popped up first. So I imagine, I wonder how much more has been done.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a promising area. I, you know, can look into that product, but I'm not sure that the product is precision targeted towards the bacteria that she needs to suppress. I read something interesting about irritable bowel syndrome is that we do believe that to some extent irritable bowel syndrome is related to bad bacteria.
Yes.
And so what a tempting idea is to just give people antibiotics. And
she has microscopic colitis. Maybe she just needs some flagyl or something.
Well, the problem is, according to these researchers, is that the bacteria that cause IBS or some forms of IBS is not vulnerable to any of the known antibiotics.
Yeah.
So we can give, you know, Xifaxan and neomycin and or flagyl. Some of these are popular for gastrointestinal problems. So why is that? They say that that bacteria, which is, has an obscure name that I can't remember right now, hides in the goblet cells, which are mucus-secreting cells in the gastrointestinal tract, and so that the antibiotics can't get to them.
Ah.
So now they've possibly isolated a bacteria that causes some cases of very refractory IBS. The question is, how do you get to those bacteria?
Yeah.
You know, because no known antibiotics reach them, but maybe in the future they can figure out some kind of way to eradicate those bacteria that are the culprits, they think, in IBS.
So this may be something that's on the horizon now.
Yeah, I mean, there's all
phage therapy.
Phage therapy or, you know, advanced treatments. You know, what's interesting here is she does talk about microscopic colitis. Let's say a word about it.
Yeah.
You know, we tend to think either you have ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease, which is inflammatory bowel disease.
Yes.
Or else you have nothing. You have IBS, which means like it's just your nerves.
Right.
You have a nervous bowel.
Yeah.
But actually, it may be that certain forms of IBS are sort of a crossover towards ulcerative colitis. Ulcerative colitis, you can look with virtually the naked eye with a colonoscope, and you can see these big craters, you know, these ulcerations in the wall. Microscopic colitis means if you look at it, it might look a little red or a little pink, but if you take a biopsy, you can see some inflammation. That is but you have to look under a microscope.
Yes.
So it may be that there's a continuum from also, you know, bleeding ulcerative colitis where there's, you know, the toilet bowl fills up with blood, to people with IBS who have a sort of what's termed in medicine a form frust, a frustrated form or a mild form of ulcerative colitis. So therefore, they could respond to our measures for ulcerative colitis, like the specific carbohydrate diet.
She's been doing specific carbohydrate diet and it's been months.
Okay.
So she needs some other...
Yeah, so she something else. Yeah.
Something else, right. That's a consult, Mary.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Rather than trying to treat yourself with phages or something.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, it's sort of a good concept.
We want to find out the cause of this ongoing IBS and now microscopic colitis. It could be there for, who knows, another reason. Or after a round of antibiotics. Or how do you know it's not a C. diff or...
Well, you know, an example of which is they now have these vaccines which are based on RNA.
Yeah.
Now, you can actually go on the internet and you can buy RNA supplements. They're called nucleotides.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you can say, well, I don't need the vaccine. I can just go, you know, I can't wait 5 months for the vaccine to, for me to become eligible for the vaccine. It won't be available till spring of 2021. Mm-hmm. So let me just get some RNA and I'll just take the RNA. Well, there's a difference. You know, it's like sort of heterogeneous RNA, mm-hmm. and it's not specifically targeted to the spike protein of the virus.
Yeah.
And it may help you in some respects. There's some studies that say that you can enhance surgical recovery with RNA because it provides the body with the ability to synthesize protein, you know, in an indiscriminate way, in a sort of a blunderbuss, non-targeted way. Mm-hmm. But to get the RNA that specifically, targets the spike protein of the virus, you know, the vaccine,
yeah,
you know, it's very selective.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in the supplement world, I think there's sometimes efforts to emulate high-tech science that may or may not reach the threshold of precision that's yes. necessary.
Right, right. But it's a good try.
Yeah. Thinking out of the box. Thinking
exactly.
out of the box.
Exactly.
Do we have time for a quick question? Or
we don't have a quick question, Dr. Hoffman.
Oh, good.
This
well,
is actually
because
a long one.
We so are have to wait. Well into our time limit.
Yeah.
So let's announce one more time. Radioprogram@AOL.com is the destination for questions. And we'd be happy to field them next week when we come back on with next week's version of Q&A with Layla. We're going to keep on broadcasting through the end of this challenging year.
Yeah.
And we're here for you, whatever your concerns are. Radioprogram@AOL.com. Thanks, Layla, for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.